You would think that every minute of what goes out on BBC Radio would be somehow archived and stored, maybe in a great big bunker under Broadcasting House in London. You'd imagine that key moments, at least, and landmark programmes would have been kept. It's not the case, though. The BBC archives have got plenty of stuff, but they have not got everything. And not all of the shows we think are great now were thought worthy of preservation at the time that they were broadcast. Can you help us plug the gaps? That's right. Can you fill in those golden moments that were thought to have been lost forever? Something that might not be in the BBC archive, but it is in yours. Maybe it's been stored on a dusty cassette that's been lurking in the attic for the last 30 years. A new BBC project called the Listener's Archive is holding a special Radio Amnesty Day this Thursday, so you can dig out and bring your old tapes and other recordings of BBC programmes to your local BBC station. Not all of them are involved. Lots are, though. They will then make a digital copy of the tape and hopefully give you back the original. Maybe you've got an outstanding piece of radio heritage under the stairs or in the garage. Get in touch, 0500 288 291 or email vine@bbc.co.uk. Trevor Dan joins me. He's in charge of the Listener's Archive Project. What a great idea, Trevor.
Well, thank you. It all comes from our Sounds of the 20th Century series, really, which you kindly narrated for us. When we were looking through the BBC archive, we discovered that it's really good on wars and general elections and those kind of big events, but it's not so good on what was life like. What do people actually listen to in between the news bulletins? You know, shows like this were not in those days, you know, routinely kept. So you have no idea of what ordinary programmes sounded like. And what we thought was that we were missing a trick. We couldn't tell, don't want to sound too highfalutin about it, but we couldn't tell the social history of the UK by listening to what people were actually listening to. And we thought, I know, people will have this stuff in their attics and spare rooms.
So just occurs to me, like my colleague Steve Wright across the corridor did what was on Radio 1 at the time, an incredibly groundbreaking show on British radio. Were none of them kept, the Steve Wright posse and all that stuff?
There are one or two clips of Steve's show, as indeed there are of, you know, there's the odd clip of Alan Freeman. There's I think one Kenny Everett show from the BBC. There's lots from Capital and later on. So there are bits and pieces, but it's very sporadic. And also what tends to happen is people keep specials. So for instance, you go in the BBC archive, you can find Andy Peebles goes to Moscow. Well, maybe he should have stayed there, but
you don't have him coming back.
What you don't have is just a regular Andy Peebles show, which might tell you more about the world.
All right, we've got some clips, we've got some things that you've already been sent. So this first one, we think it's 1969, it's an extract from The Clitheroe Kid, and it stars Jimmy Clitheroe, and it's funny.
When a vicar rings another vicar on the phone, how does he make the call?
I have no idea.
Parson to parson.
Oh, very good, James. Parson to parson.
Yeah. Another. How does the bishop get rid of a cannon?
I don't know.
He fires him. I enjoyed the service.
Oh, indeed I am.
Oh, good, I'm going to come round for a silver collection.
There we are. So that was Jimmy Clitheroe. Although I thought that was funny, actually, but I suppose it's dated.
You know you didn't.
No, I did. Well, I thought the other bloke laughing. Radio comedy is very hard to get right, that's for sure. So where did you get that from?
Well, that actually comes, extraordinarily, from the British Library. There was a man called Arthur Perkins who lived in Surrey. And every once in a while, he would record all of the Light programme for a day. And he carried on doing this until his death. And then, I think it was his daughter, took all the tapes, many, many hundreds of tapes, in some big boxes to the British Library and said, would you like these? And so we've been somewhat painstakingly going through them. And they're really good quality.
It's
and that's one of the key things, that they've got to be good FM quality. But that's quite a late Clitheroe Kid. But he's got stuff going back to, you know, Music While You Work from the 50s, some really extraordinary stuff.
So the next clips came from the same family, and it's an extract from a show called London Town. The presenter, I don't know what this is going to sound like, presenter Philip Midgley interviews a taxi driver.
Do you mind telling me your name?
Jack Cohen, known in the trade as Jack from Mons.
How long have you been a taxi driver?
Getting on for 40 years.
Well, what do you think of London people?
To me, they all look a gloomy lot. But the moment that same gloomy person will get into my cab, he's a different, cheerful bloke entirely.
Have you had any important people in your cab?
Well, it was just my luck that I happened to have had in my life 3 prime ministers in my cab. The first one was Stanley Baldwin. The second one was Mr. Ramsay MacDonald. And the third one was Mr. Attlee.
Anything interesting happen?
Oh, yes. I had a very funny one once with Mr. Baldwin. He was immaculately dressed with a top hat, white spats on his shoes, and he asked me to drive him to the Travellers Club in Pall Mall. When I got there, I asked him for his autograph, and I pulled out a pen, which when you wanted to write with it, I had to shake it to get the ink into the nib, and as I did so, a blob of ink fell into his white spat. As the blob fell in it, he jumped back and said to me, "Look what you've done. I've been invited by Queen Mary this afternoon to a garden party at Buckingham Palace. How can I go like this?" I humbly apologised to him, and I recommended him a cleaner's.
Now, that's interviewing style for
that
you, Jeremy.
Was amazing. I want a copy of that, because that is one. I've got such a picture of that ink going everywhere. That's
brilliant,
amazing.
It?
Sorry to laugh so loudly. But oh, my goodness, that's so wonderful.
With that era of, excuse me, Prime Minister, would you, do you have any words for the nation?
But, I mean, the idea, the cab driver... We've got cab drivers listening. He's thinking, which cab driver? We've got a prime minister in the back. He's wearing a suit that's white. And you're shaking a fountain pen to try and get it to work. You know, that's going to go wrong. Okay, now we have, interestingly, we thought, well, we'll see what they've got from my show. It's been going 9.5 years. And we thought we'd get the first one out. But we couldn't. This is what we got.
Now it's midday. And here he is again. Back for more. Jeremy Vine.
Okay, and thank you very much indeed. See you tomorrow. Welcome to the Jeremy Vine Show. Hope we find you well this afternoon. Today, our troops face war and UK.
Now, firstly, I do sound a bit younger. That's worrying. I've never heard a younger voice.
And a bit
also,
posher.
Well, yeah, that's right. But the quality's bad. It's jumping.
I think that's a really poor digital copy, actually.
So not only have they lost my first show, yeah. This is what you're up against,
but now,
isn't it?
Isn't that interesting, you see, because you would imagine, well, from 2000 and something, they'd be bound to have it.
Yeah.
They don't even have the first Chris Evans show from Radio 1 from 95. But
right.
You know, actually, we have now found that, thanks to a listener, but it was never kept at the time.
What else you got? I've got one more here, which
this
is... Oh, this is John Peel with Pete Drummond, first broadcast October the 1st, 1967, on a Radio 1 show called Top Gear. So let's have a listen to this.
One of my favourite groups in the whole world that probably a great number of people have never heard of, Captain Beefheart and his Magic Band. And I'd like to play this one especially for Shirley, with whom I saw this group in Los Angeles. It's called Yellow Brick Road.
The following tone is a reference tone, recorded at our operating level.
Yellow Brick Road from Captain Beefheart and his Magic Band. There's so many fabulous groups over on the West Coast, aren't there, John? You know, who are doing so many different things.
There are indeed beautiful groups, and they all have nice things to do, and none of them ever get heard, except, of course, on Top Gear.
Except, of course, on Top Gear.
Yes.
Right.
Right. First, I thought that was Peel to start off with, and that really would be a strange...
Yeah, that was Pete Drummond, who was Annalee Drummond Hay, the Show Jumpers' brother. He was really Peter Drummond Hay, which is why I was talking in that very proper manner.
So we've got these, and that's great. And I'll play some music, and then we'll talk some more about what you're looking for, and maybe someone can call. If you've got some tapes at home, just call us. You don't have to describe them all. We'd love to know what caused you to keep those programmes.